It's Celtics coverage on clnsradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Welcome into the Celtics post game show for CLNS Media. I'm your host, Josue Pavone. Nick Stasento is also joining me as we recap this loss from the Boston Celtics. 104-98 was the final score. As the losing has begun now. All right, Celtics fans, this is now reality. Okay, after the long winning streak that we saw Celtics go on. You know, from the looks of the schedule, it looked like they may have been able to stretch this out to 19, 20, 21 games. But all that is done after what happened tonight in South Beach, the Miami Heat defeating the Celtics 104-98. I mean, tonight, throughout at least the first three quarters, the Miami Heat certainly looked like the best team on the floor. The Boston Celtics did make a surge in the fourth quarter, outscoring the Heat 35-25. And a lot of that had to do with the rookie, the 19-year-old Jason Tatum, who finished with 18 points and really gave it to the Celtics, or excuse me, gave it to the Heat in that fourth quarter. But it was too little too late as him and the Celtics fell short in that fourth quarter. But, hey, this is a game that I felt like was going to happen, whether it happened tonight, whether it happened Friday against the Orlando Magic. This was bound to happen because at the end of the day, when it came down to it in those last couple of minutes, we saw the youngsters make what youngsters do in the NBA, mistakes. Simple as that. I mean, Jaylen Brown made a huge turnover in transition, fast break, tried to force the issue, dribbled it off his foot, out of bounds. Jason Tatum, right by the hoop, made a nice drive, nice move, nice up fake, got his man to get in the air, but bounced the ball off his leg, out of bounds. Turnover, Miami ball. In situations like that, those are the crucial turnovers that are going to stop you from making the humongous comeback that we've all seen the Celtics do before. We've seen it happen before. We saw it happen in Dallas. I mean, in Dallas, that was an amazing comeback. But the only difference between the Dallas comeback and the potential comeback against the Miami Heat was the timing of it. Okay, the Celtics had a lot more time in Dallas to make that comeback. But tonight, that wasn't the case. They made their comeback late in the fourth quarter. An impressive deficit, by the way. And the way they cut that deficit in half was impressive. I mean, they were there. They were two possessions away from grabbing their lead. The lead that they needed to go ahead and let Kyrie Irving do his thing. But they fell just short. Brad Stevens turned to the bench, of course. Yeah, Terry Rozier hit a huge three-pointer. I mean, just the fact that Brad Stevens turned to Terry Rozier in that situation just shows how much confidence he has in the young fella, how much confidence he also had in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to sort of take over and control the offense while his best player was on the bench resting. And there were some parts of that two to three minute stretch that I didn't 100% agree with, where I saw Kyrie Irving just sort of looking along. But you know what? At the end of the day, the Celtics were right there in terms of making that next stride to take the lead, but they fell short. They fell short with Kyrie Irving on the bench. Kyrie Irving came in. He did what he usually does, put up points in a hurry, but it was too little too late. The Boston Celtics fall short. Winning streak is snapped at the hands of the Miami Heat, 104-98. Kyrie Irving with 23 points to lead the Celtics. He had Marcus Morris, who was a force off the bench. He led the bench with 14 points. I thought Marcus Smart gave the Celtics some valuable minutes, especially in that third quarter when they were trying to turn things around. He made some big plays in terms of facilitating, found his guys, made one drive that I really liked in particular because I felt like he has the confidence to do that against almost anybody. But at the end of the day, I mean, he may have planted the seeds for a comeback, but the Celtics fell short in that fourth quarter, and a lot of that had to do with just mistakes down the stretch, you know, mistakes that the Celtics couldn't afford to make in such a tight game and on the road. And with the Miami Heat shooting the way they were shooting, I mean, this was a tough loss for the Celtics in terms of how things played out in those last 4 to 5 minutes. I mean, talk about Deion Waiters. I mean, man, if there's a Deion Waiters three that I've ever seen before, it was that one that just bounced off the back of the rim, hit the top of the backboard, and sunk right in. That really took the life out of the Celtics And even though the Celtics were able to respond in some capacity, I mean, for him to follow up that three-pointer with a legitimate three-pointer on the other end really deflated the chances for the Celtics. He finished with 26 points. Goran Dragic led the way with 27. He finished with a game-high 27 points. You had Tyler Johnson with 16 off the bench. I mean, this is a team that shot damn near 50% from the field. I mean, this team, the offense in itself, really carried the momentum, really carried things for the Miami Heat. And as they ran away with this win, 104-98. But let me bring in my co-host here, Nick Sesento, who's waiting patiently. I'm sure he has a lot to say about what transpired tonight. Nick, the Celtics winning streak falls short here against the Miami Heat. But I think we can both agree with the fact that this game certainly belonged to Miami for at least the first three quarters. And when it came down to it, although the Celtics did outscore the Heat 35-25 in that final frame, this game sort of had Miami winning it all along, didn't it, Nick?
Yeah, Miami basically had control of the game, like you just said. First three quarters, Boston Celtics actually outscored the Heat in the fourth quarter. I mean, the fourth quarter, it was a classic Boston Celtics situation in 2017-2018, Kyrie Irving, Boston Celtics situation where you just kind of got that feeling that, you know, everything was calm and they were going to make that run and they were going to come back. But as you already mentioned, they had those crucial youngster mistakes, and almost all the young players made them at the end of the game. And not only that, you had missed free throw opportunities. Marcus Smart missed one and two late in the game. Al Horford missed two in a row, two free throws in a row for a guy that's, you know, usually a fairly solid, you know, fundamental player, free throw shooter. Didn't hit those, you know, those clutch free throws. And those, I think, you know, combined with the turnovers that you mentioned earlier, the dribbling, Jason Tatum dribbling the ball off his knee, Terry Rozier and Jason Tatum fighting over a rebound, you know, or both of them went for a rebound, and the ball just ended up, you know, going out of bounds off the Celtics very late. I mean, and then, of course, the Dion Waiters three. Those plays, you know, the ball just bounced in Miami's direction. And despite the fact that Miami outplayed the Celtics for the first three quarters, outscored the Celtics for the first three quarters, the Celtics still had a chance to come back and win. The Celtics still brought the game down within a possession, I believe it was, late in the fourth quarter. But those bad breaks for the Celtics, those rookie and young player mistakes by Tatum, by Brown, by Smart, by Rozier, all of whom had, you know, key clutch turnovers or contributed to key clutch turnovers at the end of the game. And then those lucky bounces for Miami, bounced by Dion Waiters, some of those shots. I thought there were a couple of, you know, ticky-tack fouls, you know, early in the fourth quarter and midway through the fourth quarter that went Miami's way. But at the end of the day, the Boston Celtics just went on a 16-game winning streak and have only lost, what is this, their third loss of the season? You can't be mad at 16-3. You can't be mad at 16. It's still the best record in the NBA. And the last thing I want is, you know, whoever calls into the show, when I go back onto Twitter, when I go back onto, you know, Facebook and, you know, the Bleed Green Facebook group that has almost 50,000 members now, I don't want to see meltdown. Don't get spoiled, Celtics fans, because of the long win streak, the 16-game win streak, because of the outstanding stellar play of Kyrie Irving, the masked man, because it seems like no matter who Brad Stevens puts on the court, it's a winning combination. Don't get spoiled now. The loss was bound to happen. They were not going to go 80-2. It was not going to happen. And while we may have preferred it to have happened to against a better team or a team that we, you know, may have, you know, stomached it a little bit better than the Kelly Olynyk Miami Heat, it was going to happen. It was going to happen at some point, and it happened. Now the Boston Celtics can get back to focusing on basketball and not worrying about streaks. We've seen in the past where Celtics have had streaks where the streaks kind of become a joke, like Rajon Rondo's assist streak where he was giving up wide-open shots and wide-open layups to pad his stats with assists. Let's get these streaks out of the way. We love the streaks. They were fun while they lasted. But let's get back to, you know, watching the Boston Celtics play out this season the way that we know they can. They're going to finish strong, and one loss doesn't make or break the season. So Celtics fans, please stay level-headed when you call in. Please stay level-headed when you tweet, and please stay level-headed when you comment on other social media. Please.
Yeah, that's funny you bring up the Rondo streak, man. Do you remember how Doc Rivers put him back into a game when they were up by like 19 points just so he can continue that streak?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something you would never see out of Brad Stevens. But, you know, with that being said, I truly do believe the fact that Brad Stevens is probably relieved that this streak is over, because at the end of the day, he's focusing on the development of this team. Let's kid ourselves here. Brad Stevens is the kind of coach that believes this team can go all the way. I mean, he's not going to say that. He's not going to tell you in front of cameras and with microphones in his face that that's what he believes. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's how good he thinks this team is. That's the proof of this team's potential in Brad Stevens' eyes. He's gone on record to say that he's impressed with the fact that the team has started off this well without Gordon Hayward, with everything that they've had to face. But at the end of the day, when it comes to progress and when it comes to seeing his team reach its full potential, the full potential that Brad Stevens sees this team becoming is a team not only in the finals, but a team that could potentially win the NBA finals. That's Brad Stevens' vision. So I think at the end of the day, although he said that he hasn't brought up the winning streak and that he hasn't heard his guys bring up the winning streak, I think this kind of adversity is the type that he is going to not only expect his teammate, his team to thrive off of, but I think he knows that he can play his part in this situation and have a brand new winning streak take place right after this game. I mean, look at the schedule. There's a few games that sort of stick out to you, but for the most part, there is no part of me that believe that there isn't a single part of me that thinks that this Celtics team cannot go on and win 8 of their next 6 or 9 of their next 6. You know what I mean? I mean, this is the type of team that is built to knock off some of these lower tier teams that we've already seen them do in the past. However, it's going to take some time at the end of the day for this team to not only finish the season with a plus 50 win record, which I know that they're capable of, but also win the Eastern Conference. Still a possibility, of course, it's still a strong possibility. So I'm 100% with you, Nick, there in terms of talking about these Celtics fans, you know, not getting ahead of themselves and thinking that this team isn't as good as we know that they are right now. But of course, that's
nothing
like Nick
has changed.
Nick, just,
nothing
exactly.
Has
nothing has changed. And you know what, Nick? You made a good point in terms of bringing these callers in. We see some of you guys on the line right now, but there's plenty of space for more at 347-215-7771. Again, the phone number is 347-215-7771. That's how you join the show. And with that, let's bring in our first caller who's been waiting for almost 20 minutes now. What we got here, Nick?
Let's bring in 954, my girl. I believe this is Lydia in Lauderdale.
Is that
Lydia?
Lydia?
Is that you with 954?
All right, let's bring in Lydia. What's up, Lydia? Oh, Lydia's hype. Oh, man, Lydia sounds like we just heard a win right now. Do you see a win, Lydia? Are you a Heat fan? What's going on? Are you a Heat fan?
No, I am a Boston Celtics fan, baby.
Okay.
You sound
really happy right now.
I am, because you know what? We still the best team in the NBA, and they can't do nothing about it.
What'd you
like about tonight?
There you go. That's the attitude to have right now. The Boston Celtics is still the best team in the NBA, still the best record in the NBA.
Absolutely.
Ain't a damn thing
changed.
And
they still made it. Ain't no change.
There you go.
We still the best.
Why is that, Lydia? Why is the Celtics still the best? Let me know.
Because we're the best team. Listen. It's either we're going to win or we're going to lose it. And we can win. We probably can lose Friday and still be the best team in the NBA. Hey, I ain't got nothing to mope around for. It's nothing to mope around for.
Okay, but
there's
what happened tonight,
to
though? How come Miami Heat won tonight? What happened?
This is what I think. And y'all correct me if I'm wrong. Do y'all believe that the 18-point lead, the 16-point lead is crushing us? Do you think that that's really a tough hole for us to come back and try to fight back for? By us being the best team in the league, do you think the teams are just playing hard? And do you think that the 19 and the 18-point lead, do you think it's healthy? Do you think it's healthy for us?
I don't think it's necessarily healthy, but of course, seeing them erase those deficits like we've seen in the past, like we saw against the Golden State Warriors, like we saw against the Dallas Mavericks, like we nearly saw tonight. I mean, it goes to show you the character of this team, that they're not afraid to face adversity and erase those large deficits. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it already.
Right. So why do we allow teams to go that much up and then have to fight so hard to get back?
I think a lot of the time, Lydia, it's the I think it's the second unit in terms of the defensive the aggressiveness, you know, and that certainly was the case tonight. You saw Brad Stevens turn to Daniel Tice. You saw him turn to, you know, Shane Larkin. He went really deep in his bench tonight to sort of find some sort of rhythm out of that second unit. And that's going to be a lot. That's going to be the case of a lot of games. I mean, if you look at the box score, you see guys like, you know, Marcus Morris, who contributed. Marcus Smart gave you some good minutes. Terry Rozier. But at the end of the day, there's stretches throughout that first half where I feel like they come up short in terms of trying to come up with stops, you know, against the opposing team.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question for you, both of you guys. I know it's kind of early, but who do you think Danny Ainge should go for the player disabled option?
Ooh, that's a good question,
but
Lydia.
Yeah,
you know what?
We still got that hanging in the air.
I feel like this is the type of situation where it's going to be a case where a team's going to release a player who they don't think is going to help them, but the Celtics are going to drool over and try to sign them. That's the case a lot of the times. I mean, when it comes to, like, March, right after the All-Star break, you know, teams are trying to beef up their lineup. I think the Celtics are now going to be in the mix with one of those contending teams that are going to look for some help for come playoff time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that was my question. I know that second unit is kind of rough. So I'm thinking, who do we get rid of? Do we let someone go? Who would it be? You know?
I mean, I don't think it's a term of letting somebody go, but I think it's going to be something like, you know, demoting, whether it's Yabusele, Nader. I mean, you're probably going to see one of those guys hit the main. They're not getting a lot of playing time. And at the end of the day, the Celtics are probably going to want those guys to continue playing and get more game time minutes, whether it's here or Maine. I think that's one of those guys are going to head up there. I love Shane Larkin. I would like to see him get as much minutes as he can. I know Brad Stevens can't give out all types of minutes to everyone, but guys like Larkin and Tice, they make a case for themselves for being on the floor. These guys continue to make plays, and whether it's on the defensive end or the offensive end, especially with Larkin, I feel like he's someone that can facilitate the offense. But at the same time, with Tice on the defensive side of things, I mean, he can give you meaningful minutes. It's just not a whole lot of minutes to go around. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I can definitely tell y'all this. Marcus Smart, he made success tonight. It was a month, at least he scored.
What'd you think about Marcus? Because, you know, he looked really ugly in Dallas. Just from a shooting standpoint, he looked really bad. But he made two plays down the stretch. Tonight, same sort of situation. Looked a little better shooting-wise, but made a couple of plays in that third quarter, right?
He did, and I think that's why Brad Stevens got to have him in the game. I don't think Brad Stevens care about his shooting percentage. I really don't. I just think that he puts him in the game because he is a game different. His defense, and we've seen it in Dallas. Out of nowhere, what Marcus comes, he comes with a deep three-pointer, like out of nowhere.
Especially at the end of games, right? He comes up
at
with
the end of the game, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And that just lets you know that Brad Steve, he trusts him. And at the end of the day, Marcus ain't going nowhere. He's a Celtic.
I mean, he's the longest tenured Celtic. Believe it or not, he's been here the longest. So he knows all about Brad Steve.
And every time we hold our breath, every time he take a shot, I know I hold my breath. I don't know about y'all, but I hold my breath like, Lord, please let it go in. Just let it go in this one time.
Oh, man, I stopped breathing for a while whenever he took the shot, especially that shot in Dallas. And that was one of the biggest shots of the night. He made that one. I couldn't believe that one.
I said, I hope my voice can get to inside of his head. Please stop shooting, Marcus. Just stop shooting.
Hey, Lydia, just think about what he did in Cleveland in that series. If we can just get half of that a night,
man.
Imagine how much offense you would see out of the second unit if that was an everyday thing.
Hey, I want to ask you, where is that Marcus Smart at? Where is that the one in Cleveland that we've seen in the Eastern Finals? Where is that Marcus Smart at?
He comes about every two or three times a year. So we'll see, though. You know what? If anything, I would rather see that Marcus come 2018 than right now. Hopefully, we'll see that in the playoffs, and hopefully we'll see him find some sort of consistency, though. on the scoring side of things. So we'll see.
Absolutely.
We'll see. Hey, Lydia, I appreciate you checking in, man. Come through again, all right?
All right, and happy Thanksgiving to all you guys.
Thank you, Lydia. I appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving. All right. Always love talking to Lydia. 347-215-77. Once again, is how you join us. The phone number is 347-215-7771. Let's keep it moving with the phone lines here, which, of course, is brought to you, not only the phone lines, but this episode, of course, is brought to you by Greats. Head over to Greats.com and enter the promo code Celtics Roundtable. You can get yourself hooked up with some classic, stylish, and comfortable sneakers sold at a great price. 15% off your first order when you use the promo code Celtics Roundtable. Make sure you visit Greats.com and get yourself hooked up with some great looking sneakers. All right, let's get to this, back to these phone lines here. We got Vincent in Saugus. Vincent, welcome to the program. This is the Celtics postgame show for CLNS Media. What's up, Vincent?
Not much. Just finished watching now. I moved on to – I recorded OKC and the Warriors, so I'm watching that.
Yeah, it looks like a wild one here. I got that one in the background. I'm not 100% sure what transpired here, but it looks like Oklahoma City won 108-91. Is this a blowout? What happened here?
Yeah. I had to stop watching in the middle of the second quarter because I was calling you, and there's people downstairs, and
you just ruined it, Joe Sway. He said he had it on DVR, so he's gonna watch it later, and you just blew the score right in his face, man. How could you do that, Joe Sway? That's just wrong, buddy.
No, I'm just kidding, man. There's 5 minutes left in the fourth. They're still playing. We got a close one here. What's going on, man? You were watching the Celtics game. What's up? What'd you think about tonight's game?
First off, about Sue's are a social construct. I don't wear Sue's, so I find insulting that you had a Sue sponsorship just now.
Oh, man, check them out. They're comfortable. They're stylish.
You know, I love the cold ground. I love the cold ground and then whatever is on the ground being on my feet. All the dirtiness is there. I feel the earth and the skin, you know, whatever. I'm more woke
than Kyrie. You're a North Shore guy all day, I can tell. I hear you, man. No, I hear you. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? I'm proud of the Heat. Good for Miami. They played really good tonight, and they deserve to end the streak. Good for them. And we had no answer for. Sorry to interrupt.
Real quick. Hey, we forget. I mean, don't let the record fool you. This is a talented group. I mean, they got some weapons there, especially when they're on. You know, their guys can be inconsistent. That's I think that goes without saying, but. At the end of the day, when they're on, they're a tough team to beat.
They had a little juice. That's ever since the Celtics beat the Warriors. Every team got a little. Atlanta got some juice. Dallas got some juice. Miami had some juice. Everybody was excited to play the Celtics because no matter who you are, if you're on a big win streak, teams just want to take you down. And that was just what the Celtics were dealing with. And they're not the Warriors. They can't withstand that stuff 20 times a day. You get annoyed and. It just, you know, it wears you down.
Yeah.
It's the Warriors, like, that's every night with them. Every team gets up for them. You know, every team wants to be the guys that say, I beat the Warriors. I did it. You know, it's the same thing with the Patriots. The Miami Dolphins don't care about the season. They just want to beat the Patriots when they come into Miami because that's the only chance they're going to get. So they don't care. And then for that 1 week, they care. But Miami is inconsistent sometimes. You know, Deion Waiters is on and off. When he's on, he's a killer.
You look up the definition of a streaky basketball player, Deion Waiters is the picture you'll find right next to that definition. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and we had no answer for Kelly. I think the answer for Kelly Olynyk is Al Horford, but we couldn't run him down in the middle of a game for November. In the playoffs or in a crucial game, teams would have ran out. Horford and Olynyk wouldn't have been able to do the Olynyk things we've grown accustomed to in Boston all these years. And, you know, we would have put Horford on Olynyk and that would have been the end of it. But it's November. Who cares? We couldn't stop him. We have no – Daniel Theis couldn't stop him. We couldn't stop Tyler Johnson, Goran Dragic from cutting to the basket. It was – and just – yo –
Yeah, Kelly Olynyk in the end, I mean, it seemed like he was more effective than he really was. But he ended up scoring 6 points in that game. I think he grabbed something like 5 boards, maybe 6 or 7 boards. I'm not in front of the box score at this moment. Now I am. Six rebounds on 6 points on 3 for 5 shooting. Did you know, only hit one from the 3-point line. But Brian Scalabrine mentioned on the NBC Sports Boston broadcast that Kelly Olynyk was running down the court every single time and calling out the Boston Celtics offensive sets. I think where his impact came in that game was, you know, defensively, as much as it's kind of, you know, ironic or maybe like an oxymoron to say, you know, Kelly Olynyk and defense in the same sentence. But I think Kelly Olynyk's knowledge of Brad Stevens' system in the end was gave him that impression that he was unstoppable in this game and kind of gave him a bigger presence than the stat sheet may suggest, and was kind of may have actually been, you know, the difference in this game. What gave the Heat, you know, the kind of the key to unlock, you know, the mystery to the Boston Celtics, you know, offense and the Boston Celtics defense, and kind of giving them that insight. And I think that at some point, you know, as genius of a coach as Brad Stevens is, he's going to have to come up with something, because these players are, you know, the way Danny Ainge trades these players away unless these players walk out the door, and Marcus Smart might be one of them in free agency, you know, if he continues to, you know, play this way, or if he plays even better. Brad Stevens got to find a better way to mask some of these players, because as these players go to new teams, you don't want them to be, you know, the key to a, like, for example, Detroit Pistons win, because Avery Bradley knows everything about, you know, the Boston Celtics and Brad Stevens plays, the way Kelly Olynyk kind of gave the Heat an edge tonight.
Well, do you think the Warriors are afraid of Mo Spates knowing everything about them? Or do you think the Cavs are worried about Richard Jefferson knowing everything about them?
No, that's a good point. But no, I think that was a good point, Nick.
I think it's
a valid point. I mean, it certainly helps them get an advantage. But I think the biggest advantage in terms of the defense is Hassan Whiteside, no question. I mean, this is a team that the Celtics faced not too long ago, and they beat them without Hassan Whiteside being on the floor. But it was a close game. I mean, let's not get it twisted. I mean, this wasn't like a blowout win when the last time these two faced each other. And Deion Waiters wasn't nearly as efficient as he was tonight. So, again, with that being said, I mean, when these guys are on – They're a much tougher opponent than they would look like on paper. However, let's not forget the fact that, I mean, when Al Horford isn't as effective as he usually is as we've seen him throughout this entire season, the Celtics offense does diminish quite a bit. Not to mention the fact that down low, I mean, when you have that interior defense, the way the Miami Heat were set because of Hassan Whiteside's presence, the Celtics had a hard time coming up with buckets until that fourth quarter, when they sort of sped up the pace a bit. You know, they were sort of going with the fast break points and making stops down the stretch. But again, like I said from the top, I mean, those crucial turnovers, when you're coming from behind and when you're trying to make that final push to grab yourself that crucial lead, those are the turnovers that are going to bite you. And the turnovers came from the youngsters, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, two guys that haven't been in these type of situations a lot throughout their short careers.
Well, my theory is they partied in Miami the night before, and
someone made that prediction. No, I'm trying to remember who it was. Somebody on TV was like, if the streak ends, it's going to end in Miami throughout this road trip, because who knows what they're going to do the night before they go and play the Miami Heat.
It's like when the Lakers go face the Warriors at Staples Center. It's like, I feel like the Lakers should be 5-point favorites, because you're Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, you're Klay Thompson. You're going to party. You're going to do some stupid stuff. You're Draymond Green. You're going to party and be out till 6 in the morning. It's Los Angeles. It's the middle of December. Nobody cares.
Who's running that party? If you had to guess, who's the one
Draymond,
that's like
he's the
gathering
guy.
The troops?
Draymond.
No, for the Celtics though, in South Beach, who's the one that's calling everybody up like, let's go?
I'll tell you who it is. I was just thinking about that as Vince was talking. I know exactly who it is. Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, and them guys from last year. They called up Kelly Olynyk, who has the down low on all the spots in South Beach, and then we're partying with, you know, Kelly Olynyk, because you know Kelly Olynyk, that dude is a party animal. You know he got to have the spots down there in Miami. You wouldn't think it just by looking at him, but knowing him as you know, Celtics fans, we know Kelly Olynyk got the spots. He's down there in South Beach, and Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier and all them young dudes that played with him last year, they all linked up with, or as we say down here in Florida, they clicked up with Kelly Olynyk, and they went to the spots down in South Beach. That's what happened.
Yeah, you know Olynyk's been out and about. I mean, he even looks more tan than ever right now. So he's been doing his thing out of Miami. You can tell. I can see it.
Olynyk owes a good part of his money, his paycheck, to Brad Stevens. So, like, if I'm, I love Brad
sure.
Stevens, if I'm Kelly Olynyk, he got me from a middling first-round draft pick, who I probably would have just been Andrea Bargnani without a really good coach, to getting paid $50 million, living in South Beach, and being a backup center for a team that's going to win, like, 48 games or something, like, you know.
Ooh,
Kelly
I think
Olynyk,
you're giving him too much. I don't think they'll win that many games, but I see your point.
Yeah. Yeah, they're 7-9. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
My problem with them is
they'll make the playoffs.
Isn't that great? Oh, 100%. And I think they'll be a fun matchup for the Cleveland Cavaliers. they'll be fun. Come on. They'll be fun. Don't laugh at me. They'll be fun.
No. I think he's laughing with you. I think he agrees with you.
Oh, definitely with you. No, I wouldn't laugh at you. I like it. I like that matchup.
No.
Yeah.
It'd be...
I can see that.
If you laughed at me, what could I really do about it? You're I don't know where the heck your studio is, and I'm too lazy to drive. I'm tired. So, you know, laugh at me if you want. I'm too tired to do anything about it. But, you know.
Square up, bro. Come at me, bro.
I will, damn it. I will.
Go ahead. Go ahead. What are you going to say? Finish your point.
About that, like, I'm going to divert a little bit about that DPE. I don't think we're going to know who the heck Danny Ainge is going to get until, like, January, when the rumors start kind of picking up, because I think he's
early.
Just looking to see where, he's looking to see where the chips fall. I don't think he's going to blow his wad on Jordan Crawford. And I would love to see Jake Crawl come back. But me and my friend loved that when Jordan Crawford became a good basketball player. We imagine Brad Stevens saw Jordan Crawford first day in practice taking turnaround three-pointers from mid-court. He would just turn around at the on the logo, and then Brad Stevens would whisper in his ear and go, you know, you can't do that. You can't even do that. Why don't you just go close to the basket? And go, oh, and he just becomes this quality basketball player. So I was like, I just want him.
He was averaging about 20 points for that stretch, wasn't he? I think he had like a two or three week stretch where he was averaging like 20 points and shooting lights out. But it was nice while it lasted.
When he was the Eastern Conference. When he was a player of the week, I think it was like a 14-5.
Player of the week.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
But we can get him for like $20. We can get him for $20. I don't think we need to waste $8.4 million on him. I'm not kidding. I think we could. I think we have this other thing, the minimum, the very, very minimum tool. We can get him for theoretically $20. If the Sixers decide to waive Jahlil Okafor, and right now they have this stare down with him, and I hope they waive him. I think the Celtics, I think Ainge will probably swoop up and get him because he doesn't mind. I think he really wanted him. I wonder who he would have taken if the Sixers would have traded down with the Celtics back in 2015. If he moved up,
I love Jahlil
on
this team. I love that idea. I think that's fantastic. I think he'd be a fantastic low post scorer that would force defenders to collapse on him, to force defenses to collapse on him, which then opens up the perimeter even more for this team that can already score from the perimeter. And he's a Duke guy. I mean, there's a connection between Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum. You throw in Jahlil Okafor, and I mean, it's built-in chemistry. You know, there's a built-in, you know, camaraderie there just based on where, you know, where they went to school. I think it works.
Yeah.
And he's a young guy. You can get him inexpensive. He's a young guy that fits in with the other young guys on the team.
And he was a really nice passer at Duke. You know, him and Tyus Jones were really good together. And we don't remember that. He commanded a double team. He found the open man at Duke, and he was really damn good. I remember watching him play in the tournament, March Madness, a couple years ago. I think he palmed the ball in the post, and I swear I heard the crowd go, ooh, like he commanded that much.
He adds a dimension the Celtics don't have. I don't think – I mean, he may not be the ideal player. I don't think he's a fantastic defender, but he rebounds.
No, he's not.
And he provides a scoring threat in the post that, like I said, forces either defenders to double team or collapse, and that opens up the floor. And that's something the Celtics don't really have. I like Aaron Baines, but Aaron Baines isn't that guy. And Al Horford can do it.
No.
But sometimes Al Horford doesn't want to do it. So, you know, having a guy that lives down there – to come off the bench and add an extra scoring punch, you know, to this bench that really doesn't seem to be able to score these past couple of games, especially when, you know, players like Marcus Smart, if he's not having a good game, you know, it's not happening. I mean, so
well,
you know, adding a guy like Okafor, would be, I think, would be fantastic. I like that idea.
All right, guys. Before you guys go deep into the free agency pool here, let's reel it back in, guys. Vincent, we appreciate you stopping by. We just got a couple more calls here. We don't have much show left here, so we're going to get back to the phone calls. But, hey, Vincent, check this out. Brief altercation that happened in that game. And let me give you a little hint as to who was involved. It's Kevin Durant and his former teammate. So there you go. You got something to look forward to in that DVR recording. All right. There you go.
Sweet. Man. All right. Well, I got to watch Seinfeld, so I'll see you later. All right. I got to watch the Seinfeld rerun. I'll see you later. Okay.
Okay. The one you've seen about 75 times. All right. Thanks, Vincent.
Well, what are you talking about? Seinfeld is still on. What's wrong with you? It's still on. What are you talking about?
Let me know what happens.
Who won the contest?
Yeah, Vince is a trip. Has he called you before? You talked to him before? I feel like you guys know each other, Nick.
Yeah, Vincent from Saugus, he's called in a few times. Definitely, we like getting Vincent on. He always brings a sense of humor. Everybody has a personality that calls in. We still going back to the call lines because we have more.
Absolutely, yeah. That's why I had to cut Vincent off. I felt bad. If we didn't have any callers, I probably would have left him on for a little while. But let me remind everyone real quick, 347-215-7771. Still space for you guys if you want to join us. That's 347-215-7771. This is the CLNS Media Celtics post-game show. I am Josue Pavone. He is Nick Sesento. Nick, who we got next? Looks like we got Mike in Pittsburgh.
We can go to Mike in Pittsburgh. We have a little bit. Mike in Pittsburgh. What's going on, Mike? We also see Blair in Maine and a couple of other numbers. If you want to talk on the line, press 1 so that we can hear you. Mike in Pittsburgh.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. As a Celtics fan, I'm actually relieved that they did lose tonight. I'm not one that was pulling for a, 30-game streak to top the Lakers, or whatever.
Right.
In the last six games or so, I haven't seen Celtics play a complete four quarters. And, it would either be they would jump out to a lead early or they would get behind and always have to come back. And I think that I think the Celtics needed a reset here, in my opinion. In the NBA, the one thing it did for the Celtics, it built a little cushion here early in the season, as seeding would go as far as playoffs. But, I don't think the Celtics are a team that needs to be in the national media now being talked about, are they going to, make the NBA finals? Are they the favorite? Could they beat Golden State? I don't think they're at that point.
It's too early for them.
And I think it got in their ears a little bit, and they haven't played a complete game, probably before that Golden State game. Now, I do agree with the one caller that said when you start a streak like this, every team you face is treating it like, the biggest game of the season or almost like a playoff atmosphere. So, I'm happy for one. That the streak is over. They can reset, and kind of get back. And, because sometimes when you're winning that many games, even as good as coaches Brad Stevens is, the players kind of tune them out because they think they're unbeatable.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that notion. I mean, I think a lot of times, especially with this kind of winning streak, I feel like it's almost fool's gold, right? I mean, the last time we saw the Celtics do something like this, that was a completely different type of winning streak. I mean, that was Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, all those guys are sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter, and they're up by 25 type of winning streak. That was a Geno's playing on the big screen, and all the guys are kind of, you know what I mean? Like, that type of winning streak just shows how that team was head and shoulders above most of their competitors. That's not what we saw throughout this winning streak, right? We didn't see a Celtics team that was blowing out other opponents. We saw a team that was gritty, that was working hard, that was coming back from huge deficits and coming up with impressive wins. We saw young guys gaining huge experience throughout this stretch, finding out their identity, what this team means, how much this defense can really carry you, And I think that's a huge makeup of this team. They're the defensive-minded team, defense leads the offense kind of team. And I think that that's what you get out of this stretch. You find out that that's the strongest part of your identity. But at the end of the day, when you're not the better team through three of the three of the four quarters, more times than not, you're going to lose those games. And that's exactly what happened tonight. You know, they came down the stretch where it came down to those last couple of minutes and those key turnovers. I feel like just it's a learning experience. I mean, these are guys that are not used to these type of situations and used to holding on to this kind of winning streak. And that's what happens, you know, a lot of inexperience out there. And I feel like that really shined in those last couple of minutes.
And you know, from my experience, when you're on a long win streak like this, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, the next 10 games the Celtics go 5-5 or so, something like that. Because from watching the NBA over many years, when these teams, even the good ones like the Spurs or Golden State, would come off these big win streaks, sometimes you just don't pick up,
that's,
you know, one loss isn't going to do it. And it's not a reason to panic either. If the Celtics go 5-5 their next 10 games, there's no reason to panic at all. It's just the natural progression of a long NBA year, in my opinion.
They'd still be 21-8 overall, even if they went 5-5 their next 10 games. They'd be 21-8.
Exactly.
They'd still probably be top of the East.
That's a heck of a record.
Yeah, right. A heck of a record anyway.
They're going to lose the teams probably some nights, you know, that are worse than them. And like you, the one guy said, you know, people are going to start panicking. But, you know, it's just the NBA season, guys. But the second point I wanted to get to tonight, and I'm surprised I'm even saying this with Cleveland and Boston, the top of the Eastern Conference. I've been watching the Sixers kind of fairly regular the last 8 games or so. And, you know, everyone says Boston, Cleveland in the East. I'm telling you guys, if the Sixers were to make one significant move at the trade deadline, they could be in this conversation, as crazy as it sounds, from the last 5 or 6 years. But they're really starting to build something. And, you know, some games I'll watch them, and they'll go on these amazing stretches, and then just as a team that hasn't been together long, you know, they'll kind of blow the lead. But every game, it seems like they're getting a little better and better. And, you know, their bench is a little weak, but they have a lot of cap room. That they have some assets to make trade. I kind of like your opinion on the progression of the Sixers. And if you think they maybe pass Washington and Toronto, and even in a playoffs with one big move, could actually be in the discussion to possibly, you know, take Boston out and maybe challenge Cleveland.
Well, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of factors into that, you know what I mean? Like, of course, health is the biggest concern when it comes to Philadelphia, but I mean, if you're talking about the talent level, it's certainly there. I mean, very similar situation in terms of young talent that we see in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But I think the only the biggest difference there is, of course, the superstar level of Kyrie Irving. I mean, I'm not sure they have that guy that can sort of propel them into being one of those top, you know, yeah, you get what I'm saying, right, Nick? I mean, that's the biggest difference between the two teams. I mean, they don't have that closer like the Celtics do have in Kyrie Irving. And look, you can say what you want about Ben Simmons, but at the end of the day, I mean, when it comes down to hitting big shots and becoming that shooter, when he's forced to shoot and when he's forced to shoot from the perimeter, you see a very different Ben Simmons. And that's what tends to happen down the stretch in those game in close game situations. And I feel like that's a lot of the time that's when you see the Philadelphia 76ers come up short.
Listen, I think Ben Simmons is a talented player. You know, I would love to have him on the Boston Celtics, even though I don't necessarily think he fits due to his inability to score from the outside for somebody that handles the
Nick,
ball.
Nick, you're just trying to get everybody on the Celtics, man. You're just trying to have us a little superstar.
No, it's not even a realistic idea that he's not available. He's
no,
not going to be available. I'm prefacing my criticism of him in the Sixers by giving him, you know, the obligatory praise beforehand by saying that he's a nice player and I would like to have him on the Celtics. But I just don't think that he, along with Embiid and a lot of the players, I think the Sixers lack ball handling and distribution, and I think they lack, other than J.J. Redick, who obviously is a fantastic shooter, I think they lack, you know, a lot of that that wing talent, that crutch, you know, 3-point shooting talent. Maybe they've gotten it, and I don't know. You know, and we thank Mike in Pittsburgh for the call, who brought up this fantastic question. I just don't see, like you said, the star power in Philadelphia. I think Joel Embiid is a fantastic player, but I think he's in a lot of ways a dinosaur in the way that he plays basketball, that he's so, you know, focused as a central player. He's a nice piece, but as a central player, what was the last dominant team that had a center as their best player? I mean, we're talking way back in the 2000s now with, like, maybe Shaq or something like that, and I don't know if Joel Embiid is a Shaq type of dude.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
They
had a closer in Kobe Bryant, a wing player. I was going to say about the Ben Simmons is, I don't even know if there's anybody on the – and I might sound crazy saying this, but I don't know if there's anybody on the Philadelphia 76ers team that I would give up Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum for. I would rather have those guys, because almost as much as any position, you need – to win in the NBA, you need elite point guard, and you need – long athletic wings that can shoot, get to the basket, and play D. And the Boston Celtics have both of those, and they have an abundance with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. The only reason I might even consider giving up either one is because Gordon Hayward's coming back, and he's an all-star. I mean, there's a glut of talent at those positions that, in today's positionless NBA, I think that players like Ben Simmons, players like Joel Embiid, they're not multidimensional and versatile enough, and they can't be they're not reliable enough shooting the ball from deep to be, you know, a franchise, you know what I'm saying, central players. And the Sixers don't have anybody else. Mike said, you know, they're a move away, and I agree they may be a move away, but I don't think the players they have now, even with a healthy Fultz, they're going to grow, they're going to continue to get better, but I don't think they're in the topic of, you know, teams that are going to contend for the East. And with that, Bobby Manning, the boss at CLNS Media, and the guy that's taking over the reins for the CLNS Media postgame show is on the line. So without further ado, the illustrious Bobby Manning. What's up, Bobby? I know you wanted to get some specific points in there.
Hey, Mike, thanks for calling in, by the way. But what's up, Bobby?
No doubt. How you guys doing?
We're chilling.
Fantastic.
You know, just thinking about turkey. But tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm there too. Tonight I got my round one in, and we're going for round two tomorrow. So
hey, real quick, Bobby. Before you get started. By the way, you guys ever run into one of those like weird people or rare guys who or girls who are just not into like turkey or Thanksgiving food? I just think that's the weirdest, man. I just like it's so good. Like, well, how do you not like Thanksgiving food? Like. Turkey.
I saw someone
mashed potatoes.
With a stupid hot take about that on Twitter too. It's just dumb.
Well, anyway, I'll say that maybe on the Indian reservation, Thanksgiving might not be so big, but you know, everybody else, I think generally, I mean, even there, I mean, who can deny turkey and gravy? Even I like turkey and gravy. I don't particularly celebrate Thanksgiving. I mean, it's more about the family than about, you know, pilgrims and all that other stuff, but even I like turkey and gravy. I mean, who can turkey and gravy?
Yeah,
but
for a second, I thought when you started there, I thought you were going to say that you were one of those people. I was going to say, wait a minute, hold on, we got to talk about this. We got to forget the subject. We got to talk about this real quick. But no, anyways, what's up, Bobby? What's on your mind? I just had to get that out.
Yeah, so I feel like the happiest person tonight is Brad Stevens, and, you know, I've just been watching him after every single game on this win streak, and I'm sure you know this too, Joe Slate, from being in there. Every game they've won, he's been pissed. I mean, he just keeps saying it again and again that they are not playing great basketball right now. And you kind of saw it all start to break down over these last three games. And that offense is just such a problem right now outside of Kyrie Irving. And even Al Horford, who I'll defend until the end of time, just has not had his best games the last few nights. It feels like, you know, Kyrie started the season slow, and now he's picked it up a bit, but everyone else is starting to slow down now. I mean, how can they find some cohesion between everybody on this offense again?
Well, one of the things that bothered me tonight was the ball movement. I mean, that's been their bread and butter in terms of trying to find guys and trying to involve everyone into the offense. I feel like there's a lot of the times, especially in the first half, it was like everyone was trying to play like hero ball. You know, even there were some stretches where I felt like Jaylen Brown was forcing the issue a bit. And even Kyrie Irving in some stretches, you know, I feel like Kyrie Irving sort of saw the game getting out of reach and sort of decided to take things into his own hands, which is fine in some instances, but I feel like in others, it was a little, concerning, the fact that, like, I was under the impression that, okay, he's going to keep doing this, and everyone's just going to step out of the way. But then that wasn't the case. You know, in that fourth quarter, we saw a little bit of an improvement. I thought Marcus Morris gave the Celtics a lot of push offensively off the bench, you know, while the stars were resting. I thought that lineup in the third quarter with Morris and Smart sort of leading the way helped push things forward. Shane Larkin was sort of the facilitator in some stretches as well, which I do enjoy seeing Larkin out there, because I feel like he just sort of controls the offense in a way that no one else on the bench can really do from a point guard standpoint. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm glad you brought up the fact that Brad Stevens has had that demeanor at the end of these wins, especially against Golden State Warriors. I mean, I feel like of all games, that was a game you would see him all smiles. But one of the first things he said as soon as he had the mic in front of him was, "You will never see Steph Curry and Thompson shoot the way they shot tonight." And I feel like a lot of that had to say, you know, a lot of that was true. You know what I mean? I feel like that was his way of saying, "Look, this never happens. We were, I don't think he wanted to say lucky, but in a way he was trying to say, you know what, we were kind of lucky down the stretch. Yeah, we made the right plays and we made the heads up plays that you needed to make down the stretch. But at the end of the day, if this is the type of way we're going to play offensively, we're not going to continue to win a lot of games this season."
Yeah. I'm a little worried about these next few games. I want to see how they bounce back because, you know, I've been listening a little bit tonight, and the demeanor, of course, is, yeah, just one loss in 17 games. But if this breaks off into a little bit of a losing streak, it will be a little bit concerning because they built a little bit of space for themselves at the top of the East, but not enough where they could afford to go on a little bit of a lull right now. It's a little concerning to me because, you know, you'd expect that to be the way Stevens carries himself always. But I actually feel like, you know, there's some truth to what he's saying. Like, there's been a lot of concerning trends throughout this win streak, especially at the tail end, that concern me. You know, between this game and the Dallas game, I felt like they were just giving up so much dribble penetration on defense. And that's really what's been their strong suit throughout this. They easily could have lost the streak against Dallas. It ended up happening tonight. But there's a few concerns on both sides of the ball, especially the way they let their opponents get to the rim right now. It's just worrisome to me.
Well, it's funny because I feel like this team can go either like 4-4 or like 5-3 in the next stretch. And these are the teams that, of course, stick out to me as I look ahead here. The Milwaukee Bucks, of course. Well, actually, before them, the Detroit Pistons. I mean, that's gonna be a tough game.
Yeah, that's a big one on Monday.
Like, the Pistons, they're trying to make a name for themselves, and rightfully so. I mean, they sort of gone on the radar here as one of the top teams in the East right now, and that's going to be a tough opponent for them, even though they are at home. And then down the road, a couple of games after that, well, even before I even get to that, right after Detroit is the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, that's a team that sort of felt like they let one slip away the last time these two met each other in Philadelphia, so that's going to be a tough game. And then at the end, at the tail end of that stretch, there's the Milwaukee Bucks. And then finally, the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, those four games alone right there just goes to show you that this team could very well go 4-4 in the next 8 games. But to next point, like you said earlier, I mean, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. This team did go 4-4 in the next 8 games. However, if we continue to see strides in this offense, can we see this team shoot anywhere near 40% in the game? That would be a comforting a comforting defeat in itself, you know, whether that's a win or a loss. I mean, I would just love to see this team shoot close to 40% like we saw so many times last year. We just haven't
seen
that
this year. I still think the high point of this win streak, looking back on it, was that Thunder win. They were just so far down in that first half, and the way they just took control of the game with their offense in the second half just blew
my
mind.
Best comeback of the year.
And it was
close to Golden State.
It was that two-man game between Irving and Horford, and the way they just really both solidified the strengths in their games, just going back and forth, getting buckets for each other, playing great offense between the two of them. I want to see them get back to that, and I heard you just read off the schedule, and this is the thing I say before I let you guys go. Those second games, third games, you know, they've seen the Spurs already, they've seen the Sixers already. These teams know what to expect out of them now a little bit. The first time, it was early in the season, new-look Celtics. I think it was a bigger advantage for Boston than people gave them credit. Like, no one knew what to expect out of this team early on. Now you're getting into those second, third games against the same teams. those teams are going to know what's coming now, and can they keep that success going? These next 2 weeks probably going to tell us a lot about this team after they dropped off this streak now. So we'll see where it goes. Good job tonight, guys. Keeping it rolling with postgame. I'm loving it so far.
All right, Bobby. Appreciate you checking in. Thanks for tuning in, of course, before you called. I'm sure like you do almost every single postgame show, Bobby. Thank you, man. Appreciate you coming through.
Hey, yo, Bobby. No, but I think Bobby's absolutely right, and I think that when you depend on young players, a 19-year-old Jason Tatum and a 21-year-old Jaylen Brown to score, to be like, you know, basically the second or third or third and fourth scorer on the team if Al Horford isn't having a good game, and Marcus Smart, who, you know, never actually shoots well, he just has he impacts the game in other ways, and we're not going to go into that topic again because that's a long topic. But, you know, if you're depending on these young kids to be, you know, the staple in the core and do everything except for Kyrie Irving night in and night out, they're going to drop some games. I don't think they're going to go 500 over the span of the next 8 or 10 games. Of those teams that you named, I think Milwaukee is a team you got to worry about. Obviously, the Spurs is, you know, with Popovich is always a chess match with Brad Stevens. But, I mean, you know, Orlando's not going to be, you know, I'm not going to say they're not going to be a chance, but, you know, there's a game in Orlando. A lot of these games are in Boston. They're at home. So, you know, the Boston Celtics will have the Garden crowd really, you know, just to push them and give them that push, behind them. But, I mean, the Bucks and the Sixers, I'm not afraid of them either for the exact reason we just discussed. They don't have that star power like Kyrie Irving that in the clutch can take over the games. Sure, they had, you know, they think they let one slip away early in the season. But early in the season, as much as teams, you know, didn't know what to expect from the Boston Celtics, the Boston Celtics didn't know what to expect from themselves because one of their star players that they had been practicing with went down, and they had to figure out those new roles early in the season. So I think just as much as other teams are figuring out the Boston Celtics right now after playing them one time and now, you know, hitting them for the second go-round and, you know, third games or fourth games in the case of Eastern Conference teams, you know, the Boston Celtics themselves are developing that chemistry and learning those things. I don't think we should read all that much into one loss to the Miami Heat on the road, you know, after a 16-game winning streak, that suddenly this team is going to go 500 over the next, you know, 8 or 10 games. I don't see that in this team. I don't see that in a Brad Stevens coach team or a team led by Kyrie Irving. There's enough talent there, but you can't expect them to win every single game or have, you know, 25-game winning streaks when their main talent on the floor right now is a 19 and 21-year-old player. It's just not going to happen. Do you want to take this last call and then wrap up the show, Josue?
Yeah, let's take this last call. But just real quick, I feel like a lot of times, though, we overlook the fact that the tape is in. You know what I mean? Like the tape on the teams that have already faced the Celtics, there's plenty of footage for them to go off of when they face them the second time. And the same thing can be said about the Celtics when they face their opponents. However, we can't forget the fact that Al Horford is a vital piece to this offense. And not to piggyback on what some critics say about him in terms of not getting involved offensively, I'm not looking at Al Horford to become like a 17, 18, 19-point scorer. However, I feel like when he's not, screening the way he is or setting up the offense like we've seen him since all season long, pretty much the way we've seen him facilitate the offense from a big man standpoint has certainly played a big part. And I just feel like we haven't seen that same type of energy the last two games, but I do not think it's going to stay that way. 100%. I know he will bounce back. And I think that's sort of a part of the Celtics offense that we're not seeing out of the Celtics this past two games. But yeah, let's get into our last call, but real quick, just to remind you guys, CLNS Media, of course, this post-game show is also brought to you by the good folks over at DraftKings. Head over to DraftKings.com and enter the promo code CLNS to get yourself a free sign-up. And you can also get yourself a shot at a share of $10,000. So do that if you haven't already. Head over to DraftKings.com and make sure you enter the promo code CLNS. Now let's wrap this show up with our final caller, calling from all the way up in Maine. Blair, what's up, Blair? Welcome to the program.
Nothing much. You know, you can't be disappointed. We did try to make a run. We tried hard to make that run, and we tried hard to win. But you can't, you know, we're not going to win every single game the rest of the way till the end of the season. That's not going to happen. We're going to have a couple. We're going to have a lot of losses coming up.
I thought they were going to go 80-2, Blair. What do you mean?
We're not. That's not going to happen anymore. Sorry. It's just not. What's going to happen is I don't know how many losses we're going to have, but we're going to hopefully make it to the playoffs. We are going to play Saturday. We're going to play a pretty good team. I believe they're still pretty good, right?
The Pacers, yeah.
They're
always a good fight.
Yeah.
We've seen them the last couple
Pacers, years. Pacers. They're going to be a really good fight, I think. Saturday is going to be a good test. The 30th of this month is going to be a good test, I think, because that team's getting better and better and better. The 76ers, the Pistons, I think they're both getting better and better every year. The Pacers are getting better. The 76ers are getting better. What I was trying to say
I think
is,
the Pistons are the team. Those teams you named,
better?
I think the Pistons are the Eastern Conference team that looks pretty tough. I think especially when you add in the factor, we'll call it the Olynyk factor, since that's what it was tonight, Avery Bradley factor. The Avery Bradley just knows Brad Stevens' playbook. He knows almost all of these players on this team. He's played against Kyrie Irving, not being on the same team, but he played against Kyrie Irving in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he's played against Kyrie Irving throughout the seasons. He's defended Kyrie Irving, and he knows Brad Stevens' offensive and defensive sets. I think that's going to be a major factor, especially the fact that
if Brad
is going to
actually put
game.
more shots through the hoop, though. That's a big difference between him and Olynyk.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Blair. Hey, we appreciate you checking in, man.
Real quick.
Oh, you want to get one more thing in? Go ahead.
Yeah. So the Pistons. Yeah, they're. I believe their G League was the one I saw. The Pistons G League. They're pretty dang good. They're not bad. I mean, it was a close game. I went on a Saturday night and saw them play against the Maine Red Claws, which got another loss on their record. But the Maine Red Claws was supposed to be pretty good this year. They still are. But watch out for the Pistons. I mean, next couple years, they're going to be pretty dang good. I mean, watch out, you know. We're going to have to watch out for them.
I think so. They have Avery Bradley on their team. That's a good building block right there.
Yeah.
All right, Blair. Hey, we appreciate you stopping by, man. Thank you. Call back again. Uh-huh.
There goes Blair, right. As always. A little subdued tonight, but that's okay. A little more realistic with his predictions. Didn't give us the 80-2 hot take, the super hot take, but that's okay. You know,
I mean, who is
sometimes,
you
know, as the facts change, opinions change. That's the sign of a critical thinker right there.
He's doing his Thanksgiving Eve thing right now. He's got a couple of drinks in him. You know, he's getting ready.
He's
it's
zen.
The most
he's
popular night
tonight.
Of the year. Everyone's going out, so he's probably doing his own thing. At the crib, kicking it with us, though. I appreciate that, Blair. This is the CLNS Celtics post-game show. And with that, we'll wrap things up as the Boston Celtics winning streak came to a close. 104-98 was the loss against the Miami Heat, but they will look to bounce back on Friday night against the Orlando Magic at TD Garden the day after Thanksgiving. Guys, everyone, I appreciate you for checking in, for listening to us. Have a great, safe, happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Eat up, because I know I will. Got a couple of meals to eat. I'm actually at my parents' place right now. Got my dad chilling with me. I thought we were going to see a win tonight. But, hey, it's all good. Like Nick said, there's plenty of wins ahead for the Boston Celtics team. This group can certainly string together wins like we saw, and they will look to get the ball rolling Friday night at TD Garden against the Orlando Magic. This has been the Celtics post-game show for CLNS Media. I am Josue Pavone. He is Nick Sesento. And with that, we're up out of here, guys. Have a great night tonight, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving once again.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSRadio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.
There had never been a sneaker brand founded in Brooklyn, which was really surprising. Like, everything came from here at one point, but never a sneaker company. So here we are. stand for value and quality, and we're able to offer a premium quality product at a value price by not wholesaling. It was becoming really clear that like the model of traditional wholesale was completely broken, and basically because of the inefficiency, like the customer pays more money than they need to.
So we have two categories, made in Italy and made in Asia. And made in Asia is more sporty, younger, more accessibly priced. And made in Italy is more luxury, we call it accessible aspiration. We use the same factories, the same material providers, the same sole providers as all the luxury brands do. There's one region in Italy where most of the luxury sneakers are made. We make it in that area.
This shoe, the upper is premium Italian leather. I mean, it comes from some of the best suppliers in the country. And then we line it with what is called vicheta calf. And vicheta calf is what like Chanel makes their bags out of. So actually the lining is more expensive than the leather, which is crazy. And when we went to the factories and we're like, oh, we want to line the whole thing in vicheta calf, they're like, what? That's kind of what luxury brands do. And we're like, yeah, we know. And they were like, yeah, but you want to price it at this. And I'm like, yeah, but this is how we're going to do it. I know if we cut these things in half, like every other one of our competitors that sells it for $500 is going to basically have the exact same level of material, except this one's going to be $200. And like the simplicity of that sounds like that can't be, that can't be, that can't be, because we're so told like, oh, the more you pay, the better it is. And like that may have been true at some point, but today it's not, and this is kind of proof of that. I mean, there's pros and cons to doing things the way we do it. The pros are we get to give you guys a better product for less. The cons are, you know, it's hard to get more people aware of your brand when you're just one website. By not selling to a retailer, we literally are saving you at least half. Our business couldn't exist pre-internet. Like the internet is a distribution channel. Like you can make things and sell it. And if you do that, and that's the majority of your business, and you're not relying on third-party retailers, then you can have a super disruptive business, whatever you're selling. So the internet is the reason. All of those things, man, have changed the world and allow greats to be greats.